A Tale of Cats and Mobs, aka the story where Karen and Foggy meet Peter Parker. Written by Blue and Bronze. Read by a T. Summary. It began when Peter helped a cat and ended with Peter fighting the mob, in which Foggy Nelson and Karen Page meet Peter when Peter ghosts him out for help to take down a new mob. I don't know how to tag or write summaries, so basically, cats happen, and Foggy wishes people stopped being ridiculous. Notes. Okay, quick disclaimer, I am not American, and have never been to America, so I'm sorry about any errors I make because of this. I have given myself plenty of artistic license here, so I hope you enjoy this random thing that was never meant to get quite as long as it did. Smiles. Enjoy! Also, I have no idea what time this is set in. I've sort of placed it after season 3 of Daredevil, and I guess after Homecoming? Let's go with that. Chapter 1. The Cat That Began It All. Peter looked at the small business card in his hand, emblazoned with the name Nelson, Murdoch & Page. Might as well. He walked to the address displayed, eventually finding the sign with the same name. He deliberated on the doorstep for a moment before taking a deep breath and raising his hand to knock. The door popped open, causing Peter to leap backwards. "Oh, I'm so sorry." In the doorway, looking slightly stunned and anxious, was a blonde, wavy-haired man. "Oh, no, don't worry," Peter quickly interrupted. I'm here to see..." He glanced down at the card in his hand. "Mr. Murdoch?" The blonde-haired man frowned a little. "He's not in, actually. I might be able to help." He held out his hand. "Foggy Nelson," he announced cheerily. Peter shook his hand but shook his head. "No, sorry, I really need to see Mr. Murdoch. Can I wait inside for him to come back?" Foggy looked a little surprised, but let him in. Foggy needed a coffee. It had been a stupidly long day already, and it was only 11 in the morning. Coffee was what was required. Karen was going through paperwork, and Matt had sent in a text saying that he was going to be running a little late. Foggy tried not to think about what that might mean. When he opened the door, he had not expected to see a kid wearing a bright red hoodie and a shirt with a chemistry pun leaping away from the door. "Oh, I'm so sorry," he apologized quickly, but the kid interrupted him. "Oh, no, don't worry," the kid said quickly, smiling cheerily. "I'm here to see," he began before quickly pulling out one of the new Nelson, Murdoch & Page business cards. "Mr. Murdoch?" "What?" "He's not in, actually," Foggy said, recovering quickly, trying to conceal his confusion. "I might be able to help." He held out his hand to the kid. "Foggy Nelson." The kid shook it.
"Peter Parker."
"Good to meet you, Peter. Do you want to come in?" Peter smiled cheerily.
"Thanks."
Foggy led him up to the office waiting room. It wasn't much. In reality, it was only a room with a couple chairs in, but they had big plans to make it nice. But no money. Yet. One day they would live the dream, with comfy chairs in the waiting room, probably with one of those little plants, maybe a fish tank as well. There was a point to this. Peter sat in one of the chairs and looked around him interestedly. Karen was still going through various documents, occasionally glancing over at Peter. "So," Foggy began, "what can I help you with?" Peter looked up, slightly surprised. "Not much really right now, sorry." He looked apologetic. "Do you happen to know when Mr. Murdoch will be in?" "He should be in soon," but the door opened, revealing Matt, holding a cane and wearing his typical suit and red-tinted glasses.
Mr. Madoc!
Peter leaped up, looking cheery. Matt looked slightly confused.
Peter? He asked, frowning slightly.
Yeah!
Matt still had a hand on the doorframe, looking as if he half wanted to run.
What are you doing here?
Peter shuffled his feet.
I kinda need your help.
Matt frowned.
Lawyer-related help?
He asked, sounding oddly hopeful.
What was going on?
Peter fiddled with the business card in his hands.
Not quite. Other kind of help. You know. His voice trailed off a little,
and he lifted his hands to his head, curling the fingers slightly, as if to resemble devil horns.
No way. No way.
Matt groaned slightly and sat down in the unoccupied chair.
Are you trying to be subtle?
Peter lowered his hands slightly sheepishly as Matt continued.
And you don't have to worry. They already know. Matt gestured at Karen and Foggy. This couldn't mean what he thought it did.
Matt,
Karen began slowly.
Peter brightened considerably. Oh, great! That makes this easier.
Makes what easier? Karen asked, a certain edge creeping into her voice, an edge that could make any statement appear as the most dangerous of threats. Matt rubbed the back of his neck. Peter was looking between them, looking as if he suddenly regretted everything that had led him to this precise moment.
Talking about what I'm talking about easier. It makes that easier.
Peter, Matt sighed, you can say whatever you're trying to say. They know about Daredevil.
I think, Karen began again, the dangerous edge still notable in her tone. The question is not whether Foggy or I know, but why does this kid know?
Hey! Peter looked a little insulted.
I'm not a kid!
You are a kid, Matt corrected, ignoring Peter's look of betrayal, and turning back to Karen. He opened his mouth, clearly about to say something, then closed it again. I find myself unable to explain this situation.
We aren't in court, Matt!
Foggy interjected, but Matt interrupted him.
I think, Peter, would you mind just explaining what you needed my help for? And I will answer questions later.
The last comment was directed at Karen and Foggy. Karen crossed her arms, clearly waiting for her opportunity to strike. Foggy gave a quick nod.
I just nodded.
Matt didn't need him to narrate, and he knew that. But it had become such a habit to narrate things around him that sometimes it just happened. Matt never seemed to mind. Matt turned back to Peter, who was looking decidedly awkward.
So, what do you need help with?
I need help taking down a mob, I think.
There was a pause.
Are you kidding me?
Foggy burst out. Karen uncrossed her arms and stared at Peter. Matt's eyebrows raised, a clear sign of his utter shock. Peter hastened to continue, seeing the reaction.
Well, I don't know. It might not be a mob, more a gathering of criminal kind of people. I don't know what they're doing, not really, but it's not great. Like, organized criminals in Queens.
Organized crime, Matt repeated, blankly.
Yeah, kinda.
How about you just tell us what's happened?
Peter took a deep breath.
That's probably a good idea. So, I was just sitting on this block of flats.
On the flats? Foggy interrupted.
Peter looked startled. Yeah. Matt waved a hand.
Just let the kid talk, or this will take a while.
Hey!
Peter looked insulted again. Matt gestured for him to continue. Peter shot him a quick glare, which looked about as threatening as a puppy, before continuing.
So, I was on the flats when I heard this old lady, and she sounded like she was in trouble.
Peter swung his legs off the side of the building, fiddling with a small piece of web, watching a couple birds fighting one another over scraps. The larger brown one seemed to be winning, although the smaller seemed to be putting up a surprising fight. Just as it seemed that the smaller bird had won, however, after about a minute of struggle, an even smaller bird flapped up unnoticed, stealing the small chunk of bread away. The larger bird looked almost indignant and flapped away. Peter grinned slightly under the mask. That was when he heard a small cry. Peter jumped up, causing the remaining bird to startle and fly away in a flurry of feathers. As Peter sent out a web and leaped off the high-rise, swinging down to where he'd heard the sound.
Wait, what?
Peter stopped talking, looking over at Foggy, who seemed slightly stunned.
What do you mean, you swung?
Peter looked deeply uncomfortable.
I mean I walked.
You meant to say walked, and accidentally said swung.
Yes, Peter nodded, as if to reinforce how much he was definitely not lying in any way.
It didn't work.
That's not a common mistake.
Peter shifted slightly.
I guess not. But hey, I should probably carry on with what I was saying.
Foggy gave up. Not very far, an old lady wearing a brightly colored top and paint-splattered jeans stood by a tree, looking up into the branches. Peter gave a cough, causing her to turn around. She immediately looked incredibly relieved and began speaking at once.
Oh, thank goodness! You see, I wasn't sure what to do. I saw him up there and, well...
She pointed into the branches. Peter followed her gaze and looked up as well. Up in the branches was a rather scrawny ginger tabby cat. Peter met its eyes for a moment, and as if recognizing someone with the potential to help them, the cat let out a plaintive mew. Peter's heart melted, and he quickly climbed the tree, gently plucked the cat from the branch before sliding back down to the ground.
Here you are,
Peter grinned, holding the cat out to the old lady. She didn't move to take it and gave a small laugh.
Oh, no, it's not my cat.
Peter blinked.
Then whose cat is it?
The old lady smiled and turned to walk away.
I have no idea. Thanks so much, though. I was really worried when I saw it.
No problem. The old lady strolled away cheerfully. Peter looked down at the cat.
What do I do with you?
The cat mewed. Matt held up a hand.
As glad as I am that you helped a cat, I'm not sure what this has to do with the possible mob.
I'm getting to that!
Matt looked at him hard. He had worked with Peter a few times after he had found Peter fighting a bunch of people Matt had been attempting to find for a while, and they ended up fighting together. Peter had been flabbergasted when he realized he was working with Daredevil, and Matt had been horrified that a child had been fighting at all. After Matt had repeatedly failed to persuade Peter to give up on being Spider-Man, he'd mostly given up trying, and instead had begun to help teach him how to be better at... Spider-Manning? They'd struck up an odd sort of friendship, and had eventually given each other their real names, and Matt had given Peter his business card as a method of finding him if he was in serious trouble.
This had not been what he'd expected from that decision. Matt sighed and rubbed his face.
Fine. Continue.
All right. Side note, if I can't find the owner, and if you want a cat...
Peter was met with blank stares.
Karen shrugged.
I could take a cat.
Peter smiled widely.
Great! Thanks!
Peter had no idea what to do with a cat. He couldn't keep it. It didn't seem particularly grateful for his rescue and had begun to fight him somewhat. He had eventually gone home and locked the cat in his bedroom. Hopefully Aunt May wouldn't go in for any reason. He'd gone into school the next day and had attempted to gauge what he could do with the cat.
"You've stolen a cat?"
Ned Whisper exclaimed in his ear.
"No!"
Peter hissed. The teacher had her back to them, giving them a moment to talk. Then he considered what Ned had said.
"Well, not intentionally. Oh my god, I think I have actually stolen a cat."
"Dude.
Is that a crime?"
Peter felt vaguely panicked. "Dude." Ned shook his head slowly.
"Dude, you stole someone's cat." "I know. What do I do? How do I find a cat owner?"
"There isn't a special cat translator in the suit, is there?" Ned asked hopefully.
Peter frowned.
"No? I mean, no, definitely not. Mr. Stark would not have given me a cat translator."
"Right?"
Ned shrugged.
At lunch, Peter was still discussing the cat with Ned. They hadn't managed to reach a solution yet.
"Why are you obsessing over a cat?" MJ asked, not looking up from her book.
Peter began. "Peter stole a cat," Ned blurted out. MJ looked up, looking slightly surprised.
"You stole a cat?"
"No!" Peter yelped, causing a few people to look over curiously. "I mean..."
He continued, trying to make his voice more normal.
"No, I mean, I didn't mean to, but I'm starting to realize that I may have stolen a cat. I helped to get it down from a tree, but now I can't find its owner, so I'm stuck with a cat, and I have no idea what to do with it. Do you want a cat?"
MJ blinked.
"No, I don't want a stolen cat.
I didn't steal it!"
"Whatever. I'm assuming it didn't have a collar?"
Peter sat back in his chair. He'd have noticed a collar, right? Now he was questioning himself. Surely he'd have noticed a collar.
"Yep, no collar. No collar anywhere to be seen."
Peter nodded to accentuate his point.
"Oh my god."
"What?"
"You didn't check. MJ, I think I would have seen it if it had a collar."
MJ sighed. "Fine, let's assume it doesn't have a collar. Why do you think it's someone's cat? Maybe it's just a stray?"
"Nah," Peter shook his head. "No, it was all clean, if maybe a little underfed."
"Recently a stray?"
Ned chipped in. MJ considered this.
"Maybe. But if it was someone's cat, maybe you should check the microchip?"
"Microchip!"
Peter exclaimed. A couple people shot Peter an odd look. He gave a weak, apologetic smile until they turned away.
"Yeah, that's a good idea."
"Or you could do what any sane person would do and take it to a shelter."
"What? No, those places are horrible!"
MJ stared at him.
"Where is the cat now?"
"My room."
"I'll bet a shelter is nicer than your room."
"How dare you!" Peter gasped, mock offended.
MJ rolled her eyes and returned to her book. When Peter arrived home, he called out for Aunt May. He had no response, and so moved to his bedroom door and opened it. Immediately, like a ginger lightning bolt, the cat flashed past. Peter managed to grab it by the scruff of its neck before it made its escape.
"Dude," Peter said, slightly accusatorily. "I saved you."
The cat glared at him.
Peter felt around the cat's neck, just to check. No collar. Relief. And now, to attempt to take the cat to the vet's to check for his microchip. Please have a microchip. Please have a microchip. The cat did have a microchip, and with it, an address. Not very far from where Peter had originally found the cat.
Wait, Karen interrupted. If you found the cat owner, why did you ask me to take it?
So far, Karen had remained mostly quiet. She had no idea how this story about a cat was related to a mob or daredevil, and had hoped that by keeping quiet he would get to the point quicker. So far, it wasn't seeming likely. Peter hesitated for a moment.
I'll get to that in a bit.
Do you still have the cat? Oh my, is it still in your room?
Peter shifted slightly.
No.
Peter, Matt said warningly, you're lying.
Damn it, Peter muttered before continuing at a normal volume. Okay, yeah, it's actually currently in my room.
And your aunt is all right with that?
Yes.
Peter.
All right! Peter threw his hands up in surrender. All right, she doesn't know.
Karen sighed. Carry on, Peter.
Okay, where was I?
You had just found the owner of the random cat.
Oh yeah!
Peter knocked on the door in his Spider-Man suit, holding the scrambling cat under his arm. He'd come to the conclusion that the added protection from the suit wouldn't hurt, what with the cat turning out to be an evil demon wrapped in ginger fur, with needle-sharp claws. His healing had certainly helped, but he saw no reason to further risk being mauled by the cat.
You need a name, he considered, as he waited for a response from the door.
The cat mewed at him. He considered the merits of various names for a while as he waited. He tapped his foot a little. He gave a harder knock. He stopped the cat clawing his mask off. He pondered more evil names. Eventually, he gave up and walked to the house next door.
Excuse me, he said politely as the cat attempted to evade him once the cat owner's neighbor came to the door. Do you know this cat?
The man who had opened the door had a startling resemblance to a frog somehow. It was very distracting.
Oh, that, the man said, looking at the cat slightly warily.
His voice sounded nothing like what his appearance would suggest. It was nice, warm, and friendly.
Yeah, that's Linda's cat. Morris, I believe. Do you know where, Linda is?
I'm sorry, I have to ask, are you Spider-Man? The man said, smiling slightly.
Yeah, Peter felt a little offended. He was literally wearing the suit. Why would someone who wasn't Spider-Man wear Spider-Man's suit?
Okay, and why do you have Linda's cat?
It was up a tree, and I've been trying to find its owner.
Are there not more pressing crimes?
Peter sighed. Probably, but I didn't know what to do with Morris, so I figured I'd find his owner.
All right, the man shrugged. Fair enough. There was a slightly awkward pause as Morris mewed angrily at Peter. Something he hadn't been aware that cats did, and attempted another escape.
So, Peter said into the silence, broken only by Morris's mews of anger. Is Linda home soon?
The man shrugged. Probably not. She's not been home in a while, actually.
Oh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't exactly keep track, but I haven't seen her leaving for work in the mornings, and her lights are never on. Her car's in, but I haven't seen her since, I don't know, Tuesday?
She's not been home for 3 days, I guess. Peter frowned. This suddenly seemed more serious than just finding an owner for the cat. Peter took the cat back home before going out on patrol. He couldn't stop thinking about Linda and what might have happened to her. He'd ask Karen.
You asked who?
Foggy demanded. Peter stared at him. I asked Karen?
Like Karen, Karen?
Who's Karen, Karen?
Matt stood up.
Peter, meet Karen Page, he said, gesturing at Karen. Karen, meet Peter Parker.
Oh, Peter exclaimed. Oh, no, not you, Karen. Different Karen. I asked a different Karen.
Oh, okay, Foggy said, sitting back down.
So, like I was saying, I dropped the cat back home before going for a walk.
You really like walks. You've gone on a couple already in this story,
Karen pointed out, raising her eyebrow. Yeah, I just really like walks.
Clearly. So, I went on a walk.
Pete, Matt interrupted again, how about we speed this up a bit?
Sorry, Mr. Murdoch.
Call me Matt.
Sorry, Matt. So after a ton of work, which I did while walking around, I found out that Mystery Linda was in debt to some criminal people, so I went to go track them.
Why would you do that? Foggy exclaimed.
Why would I do what? Peter asked, looking baffled.
What made you decide to go track down known criminals, who had quite possibly made some woman disappear? Oh, no. Foggy rounded on Matt. Don't tell me you encouraged this kid to go do vigilante justice?
He didn't, honestly. Peter said hastily. And besides, who says I'm a vigilante?
Are you a vigilante?
Peter bit his lip and glanced at Matt.
Pete, you can trust these people, Matt said quietly. Peter looked up at them and took a deep breath.
Okay, I might go out and help people, but it's usually just stuff like getting cats down from trees and stuff. Matt's already told me that I'm not allowed to get involved in serious stuff.
Foggy exchanged a look with Karen.
How old are you, Peter?
Karen demanded.
Old enough, Peter defended.
You look 12.
I'm 16. That is not old enough, Karen turned to Matt. I can't believe you know about this and didn't do anything.
Matt looked stunned.
I tried.
Hey!
I really tried, Matt carried on, ignoring Peter. But seriously, what am I meant to do? Tie him up?
Okay, wow, Peter interrupted. Look, I do this. I help people. And it's fine. Seriously. And anyway, I've come here now to ask for Matt's help with something, so clearly, I'm responsible. Seriously, I've had this talk so much.
Matt sighed again. All right, let's skip ahead to the part where you need help. So, Linda the Cat Lady is being discovered, as have a group of criminals. Go.
The old warehouse was in darkness. The moon was concealed by clouds, but Karen had helpfully supplied night vision, so Peter was clearly able to see his surroundings.
All right, he murmured. So, is Linda in the building?
My senses are impeded by something, but it seems likely. The men who she owed money to are inside, Karen replied.
Great. Optimum entry point, Karen?
The small drone detached and quickly scanned the building. Through the eastern window.
Thanks, Karen!
He crawled to the window and carefully raised it up.
Before sliding inside and moved to the ceiling to watch the events, a small group of various stereotypical-looking bad guys were grouped together. Peter listened intently to their conversation, hoping to hear something worthwhile. But unfortunately, they were instead playing a card game. Peter listened for a while from the ceiling, watching them for anything suspicious, or vaguely criminal. Maybe he was wrong. Maybe these people were nothing to do with this at all, and just wanted to play their cards in an abandoned warehouse. But maybe that was just how they rolled.
He was just considering whether he should leave when the door opened on the ground and a new group of people walked in. The card players put down their cards.
"How's it been?" one of the new people addressed the card players. One of the card players, who had a rather large beard and a brown coat, smiled grimly.
"Oh, it's been fine. Almost boring, really. Luckily, Mick brought some cards."
Apparently, Mick waved over at the new people and began packing up the cards strewn over the table. He had a mop of scruffy brown hair and wore a plain black t-shirt and black trousers, and had an electric green jacket over the back of his chair.
"Okay, then."
The new people, who really needed a name, maybe Group B?
Why not?
The people of Group B did not look impressed by Mick's cards.
"I wasn't talking about cards," the man in front said dangerously.
The large, bearded player shrugged unconcernedly.
"Like I said, not a peep from anyone."
He gestured with his thumb at the back somewhere.
"Karen," he murmured.
Peter frowned. He murmured quietly, not wanting to be heard.
"What's back there?"
"I've picked up several heat signatures. It would appear that this is where the captives are kept."
"Why are they keeping captives?"
"I don't know the answer to that."
"Thanks anyway, Karen."
He turned back to the group of people, who were all staring at him. Mick's mouth was hanging open. The bearded man looked stunned.
Peter froze. "Oh, damn."
Chapter 2. Matt has some feelings, and this is a surprise to all. Indent.
Peter frowned.
"Karen," he murmured quietly, not wanting to be heard, "what's back there?"
"I've picked up several heat signatures. It would appear that this is where the captives are kept."
"Why are they taking captives?"
"I don't know the answer to that."
"Thanks anyway, Karen."
He turned back to the group of people, who were all staring at him. Mick's mouth was hanging open. The bearded man looked stunned.
Peter froze.
"Oh, damn."
"They saw you?" Matt demanded.
Peter shook his head rapidly, before seeming to actually consider what Matt had said and conceding.
"No, I mean, yes, they did, but it was fine."
"Fine?"
"Yeah, totally fine, really."
Matt frowned slightly.
Foggy looked baffled, but apparently this was for a different reason. "How were you on the ceiling? And what, were you just talking to some lady called Karen on the phone while all this was going down?"
Peter avoided Foggy's eyes.
Maybe? I was on the ceiling because... Oh, there's just a space. You can just sit there."
"Maybe there were some beams?"
Matt interjected calmly. Peter turned to him in obvious relief.
Yeah, I was just sitting on the beams."
Foggy shook his head slowly.
"You really need to get better at lying," Karen told Peter, looking unamused. "Everyone can tell."
Peter bit his lip.
Karen continued. But, you know, just carry on with your immensely plot-hole-riddled story, and we can talk after.
Peter packed up.
All right!
Peter's brain was filled with white noise. He knew he had to do something, but he had no idea what to do. They were all staring at him. Mick with his cards, the bearded guy, and all were clearly carrying guns. They were apparently startled enough by just seeing him sticking to the ceiling like his spider namesake that they were just as frozen as he was. For now. Unless maybe they weren't actually looking at him. Maybe they were startled by something else. Nope. A couple had pulled out guns. Okay, he could cope with this, right? Dude, one of the card players, still sat at the table, was gaping at him. Are you Spider-Man? This particular card player had green and blue streaked hair, and a purple sweater. It didn't exactly suit, but this was not the time, and Peter was getting distracted. Peter considered the question. He could say no, but he was literally wearing the suit and on the ceiling, and one, they probably wouldn't believe him, and two, he wasn't sure how denying would help him anyway. Instead of answering, he shot a web at one of the men who had pulled a gun and webbed it away to the other side of the warehouse. Hey, Peter called, flipping to the ground. No need for guns. We don't need those. Those can kill people, you know. No one seemed won over by his argument, and soon everyone had guns. Okay. This was fine. He may be overestimating how fine this was. Quickly, he began to flip over their heads as they began to fire, bullets beginning to rain around, forcing him to simply avoid getting hit rather than webbing them up as he would have done normally. Taser web! He yelled, and Karen obliged, sending a jolt down a web. Peter aimed at one who seemed to be aiming rather better than the others. You are being fired at, Karen informed Peter. I noticed, thanks, Peter called, as he threw himself at a wall and sprung away, neatly webbing one attacker over their face. I would recommend evacuation and calling for assistance. Peter considered this as he flung himself away from yet another bullet. One thing was for sure, if he didn't have his reflexes, he would be dead. Or if they were better shots. This was not his usual Spider-Man scene. He should probably get help. His spidey sense suddenly prickled alarmingly, and Peter quickly leapt to the side. A sudden shooting pain. Peter let out an involuntary yelp. You have been grazed, Karen informed him. Would you like to call for medical attention? Nope! Peter needed to get out. He couldn't see himself winning this. He rapidly aimed a web to his side, the white webbing quickly turning to red. He needed to get out, let his healing take care of it. That. Quickly, he jumped up, near to the window he'd entered from. He moved forward to open it when he felt a prickle of his spidey sense. And he ducked. The glass in the window quickly shattered as a bullet narrowly missed Peter, sending small shards of glass across the ground. Well, that makes that a bit easier, Peter muttered, before leaping out the now shattered window. His side sent out jolts of pain with every movement, but he forced himself to ignore it, focusing on getting away as quickly as he could. You were shot? Foggy had heard enough. This child, he was definitely still a child in Foggy's mind, had been shot, apparently. Why the hell had he been shot, and why was he so calm about it? I want to know that as well, Matt said, looking on the verge of hyperventilating, or maybe on the verge of revealing emotions. It was pretty much the same thing when it came to Matt. Foggy glanced over at Matt curiously. Matt rarely let himself show any emotion, except when it came to Daredevil, but that was a different subject entirely, and it was growing increasingly evident that he cared for Peter. It was only a graze. I made Karen check it out, Peter said hurriedly. When exactly was this?
Matt's voice was carefully not revealing the storm of emotions he contained.
Last night?
Peter avoided Matt's gaze, looking instead at Karen's computer screen, which had gone into sleep mode, beginning a slideshow of various photos.
You were shot last night, Matt repeated.
It was a graze, and it's basically healed anyway. It's fine. Not even a major part of the story. So anyway,
no, Peter, this is a major part of the story. That interrupted, his expression stern. This is your life you're risking. You cannot simply brush over your injuries. You have to give yourself time to heal.
Matt trailed off as he seemed to realize that everyone was staring at him.
Foggy was openly gaping. This was not something he would have ever thought Matt could say. The idea of Matt, telling someone off for their reckless actions, it was unprecedented. Karen looked as if she was very much on the same page as Foggy. Peter, on the other hand, looked outraged.
That is so unfair. You go out, get yourself nearly killed, and it's fine. But I get minorly injured and...
Peter trailed off, shaking his head in apparent disbelief. Foggy grinned. Matt looked vaguely guilty. And Peter resembled an insulted puppy.
I wish Claire could have heard you say that, he said into the silence.
Karen started to chuckle, and the outraged expression began to fade from Peter's face, replaced by a wide grin.
Matt shook his head, as if trying to clear his mind. Anyway, he began, evidently attempting to cling to his dignity like a sailor to a sinking ship. So, what happened next?
Peter shrugged. I just went home, cleaned the graze. Seriously, it was fine. Planned what I was going to do about the mob thing and decided to come here.
You were shot and you didn't try to get medical attention? Foggy demanded. Was it possible that this kid was more reckless than Matt?
At least Matt went to Claire.
Peter looked vaguely guilty.
Yeah, it was honestly fine, although I need to get my clothes mended, you know, from where the material ripped from the bullet.
Foggy was about to have a heart attack. Matt had a look of dawning comprehension as if he suddenly understood why people were so worried about him getting injured.
Peter didn't seem to notice this and continued to talk.
Then I went to bed, woke up this morning, nearly scratched to death by Morris, who really doesn't seem to like me. I have no idea what I've done. Found Matt's card and came here.
He shrugged again. Matt noticed Karen glaring at him. She seemed to be under the impression that Peter's apparent recklessness was Matt's fault, which he couldn't help but find unfair.
It wasn't his fault that Peter was such a self-sacrificing, cat-loving irritant.
The idea that Peter had come so close to being... He couldn't. Matt needed to do something about these people.
So, Matt surmised, you want my help to come and take down a mob in order for you to reunite a cat with its owner?
Peter looked a little anxious.
Well, they're clearly not exactly good people, so it's not just about the cat?
Matt let out a breath. There was no way he could refuse. Peter would just go out on his own otherwise.
Okay.
Karen and Foggy both turned to him with identical horrified expressions.
Peter grinned. Great! Can I meet you somewhere tonight and we'll go sort that?
Karen stood up again, hands held up.
Absolutely not! Peter, you cannot just go out, surely.
I'm fine, Peter replied earnestly.
Really, I can handle this. It's fine.
He turned back to Matt.
No way. I'm not meeting you anywhere. I'll do this alone.
Peter did not seem convinced.
Sure, he said cheerfully. I'll see you later then. Thanks so much, Mr. Maddox, sir.
No, Peter.
Matt frowned. I said I was going to do this.
Yep, I heard.
I'm being serious.
Peter walked over to the door. I know, I'll see you tonight.
He shot one last grin before leaving, the door swinging shut behind him.
Matt fell back into his chair and groaned. That kid is going to kill me. Karen and Foggy had a quick, silent conversation.
Karen began. So, who is that kid? And how does he know about Daredevil?
Matt sighed. It's a long story.
Matt, Foggy said. He just said he got himself shot to reunite a cat with its owner. Who is he?
I'll tell you tomorrow, Matt said defeatedly. So what do you want me to do to help with the case?
Foggy looked over at the clock and jumped. He had almost completely forgotten the case. This conversation would have to wait. The next morning, Foggy flicked on the news as he poured milk over his cereal. And it seems, the newsreader said, clearly in the middle of a story, that Spider-Man and Daredevil... Foggy looked up immediately at the sound of Matt's crime-fighting old alter ego. The screen was filled with a grainy black and white picture, apparently taken from security footage, with a headline running across the bottom announcing Daredevil and Spider-Man, crime-fighting duo?
No way, Foggy said into the empty kitchen, as the newsreader continued off-screen.
Have teamed up, taking down the group believed to be responsible for a number of recent crimes.
Foggy stared at the picture. On screen, a small grainy Daredevil threw a small baton at someone out of sight from the camera, and Spider-Man leapt around like a wild thing, sending webs around at attackers. He couldn't help but wonder why on earth would criminals set up their secret base near a security camera. But maybe they simply hadn't noticed, and it wasn't as if this camera was the reason they had been caught. Who knew? But this was insane. Well, all over, this filled a lot of Peter's plot holes, as Karen had called them. It made sense. Even if it was now slightly terrifying and would cause Foggy to have a minor heart attack whenever the name Spider-Man would show up on the news. The grainy image disappeared from the screen, replaced by the newsreader sitting at their desk looking serious as the caption changed to a different story. Foggy would be having a long chat with Matt and Peter. He was going to force Peter to come in, and they would all sit and have a long chat. Somehow. Oh God, how had Foggy's life reached this point? He turned off the news and pulled on his coat, his cereal forgotten on the counter, and set out to work. Epilogue. Peter pulled on the Spider-Man suit and set out for Linda's house. He had patched the side with a little patch of red fabric. It wasn't the best sewing job, but it was good enough in his opinion. He would have to get it fixed at some point, but he was not looking forward to having a conversation with Mr. Stark about him getting grazed. He and Matt had successfully managed to rescue the people, and hopefully Linda would have returned home now. Mara squirmed in his arms, and Peter debated about webbing the cat to make it stay still. He genuinely liked cats, but Morris was certainly testing this. Morris did not like Peter. He had so far managed to cover all Peter's clothes in cat hair, which had been very interesting to explain to Aunt May, and had actually torn up one of his homework sheets. That had been fun to explain to his math teacher. All in all, he was looking forward to Morris going back to his owner. He knocked on the door. Linda opened it, looking anxious.
Excuse me, Peter said, holding out the scrambling cat. I believe this is your cat?
He prepared himself for Linda's joy. She frowned. Peter felt his hopes shriveling.
No, Linda said slowly. It's not.
Aren't you Spider-Man? Why do you have a cat?
Oh, please let this be a cruel joke. Yeah, I'm Spider-Man,
Peter said as Morris made a bid for freedom. And are you sure this isn't your cat? Linda shook her head slightly baffled. I assure you, this is not my cat.
Oh, why? Why?
But it had a microchip for this address, and your neighbor said it was your cat, called Morris? She looked a little surprised before assuming a look of dawning comprehension. I do have a ginger cat called Morris, but he's a kitten, and doesn't really look like your cat. Oh, I only moved here a little while ago. I think the last owner had a cat?
Are you absolutely, definitely sure this is not your cat? Peter asked, just to be absolutely certain.
It's not my cat. Do you want this cat?
Not particularly, no. Do you know where I can find the owner? Peter asked a little desperately. The Morris imposter mewed angrily at Peter, attempting to claw his way to freedom. Linda watched slightly anxiously.
I'm afraid the last owner died.
Ah, fantastic. What did he do with the cat?
He had been so close.
This cat was going to take over his life.
Well, thanks, Peter said, slightly defeated, as he turned and strode away with the cat. He pulled out his phone.
Hey, Mr. Murdoch, I was just calling to ask, is your friend Karen around? Is she still interested in a cat by any chance?
Notes. I really enjoyed writing this, and thank you, people who have left kudos and comments. It's been really encouraging, honestly. I thrive off comments. Might continue with this universe at some point. Let me know if that's something you'd be interested in reading. Feel free to leave prompts. Smile. Thanks again to everyone who's enjoyed this.
Smile.